The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last Wednesday, USA Today published an article by a woman. She began, 71 years ago, my grandmother was beaten, enslaved, and nearly killed by the Chinese Communist Party. China continues to do the same thing today, and America should offer its new victims refuge. My grandmother was sent to a hard labor camp in 1950, where she was forced to tear down her neighbors' homes during the day and endure beatings by her captors in the night. During her 4 years of torture, my grandmother's infant son died from starvation and illness, and she tried to escape repeatedly, failing three times. Her town was overrun by the communists, but they needed the wives and the children to remain as slave labor before they were executed. They took all of her belongings and broke her bones, but they could not destroy her dream of living safe, free, and happy. On her fourth escape attempt, in 1954, she succeeded. Incredibly, she was able to bring herself and three of her young children to freedom. She finally made it to the United States in 1968. My family now calls America our home. Free at last. You are safe now. These can be some of the most reassuring words to hear. In our text, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us another exceedingly great and precious promise. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. The Lord uses this same figure in other parts of Holy Scripture, including Matthew 23, verse 37, which we read earlier in this service. This figure beautifully expresses the singularly tender care with which God watches over our safety. When we consider the majesty of God, there is nothing which would suggest a likeness such as we find here in our text between the Lord and the bird that spreads its wings over its young one to comfort and protect and cherish that young one. And yet, in accommodation to our infirmity, the Lord descends, as it were, from the heavenly glory which belongs to him, and uses this humble metaphor to encourage us to approach him as our gracious God and heavenly Father. Since he condescends in such a gracious manner to our weakness, surely there is nothing to prevent us from coming to him with the greatest freedom. What a wonderful expression we have here in our text. If it had been invented by an uninspired person, it would have verged on blasphemy. For who would dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? Since God himself authored it, yes, spoke these words of Holy Scripture, we have here a transcendent condescension which we should greatly admire and adore. In this figure, we see a matchless love, a divine tenderness, which should both woo and win our confidence. We feel the great loving kindness of the Lord to us in using such a figure to set forth his protecting care of his people. The Lord here compares himself to a hen covering her brood. And he speaks not only of the wings which give shelter, but he enters into detail and he speaks of the feathers which give warmth and comfort and repose. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Using the motherly instinct as an emblem of his own parental tenderness, the Lord compares himself to the mother bird which fosters and cherishes and protects her little ones. You've stood perhaps in the farmyard, and there you have noticed the little chicks as they cowered down under the hen. She has given some note of warning that warned of danger. Perhaps your very presence disturbed her and made her betray some little fluttering of fear. She called her little ones by her peculiar cry, and they came to her, and then stooping down and spreading out her wings, she covered them, and they were safe. After they were safely nestled there, the warmth of her feathers made them seem especially happy and at ease. You could hear them clucking to one another and playfully pushing one another sometimes out of their places, but clearly filled with cheer, contented, and peaceful. It is more than the protection which a soldier would give to a comrade. It is the protection of a mother of her young. There is love in it. There is homeliness, relationship, kindliness, tender heart working in it all. It is not merely the relief that might supply a little cold comfort, but the breast feathers come down upon the little ones, and there they rest cozily and comfortably, calm and undisturbed. And that is precisely the idea that this text teaches. Not only does our Lord Jesus Christ promise to protect us from danger, but he also communicates a sense of comfort and happiness, making the child of God feel that he is at home under the shadow of the Almighty. He feels that he has all the comforts that he can need when he once has come to cower down under a blessed sense of God's presence and to feel the warm flowing out of the very heart of God as he reveals himself in the most tender relationship towards his weak and needy servants, his children. This picture cheers and encourages the child of God as a hen covers his chicks or her chicks, so the Lord protects the souls that dwell in him. Let us cower down beneath him for comfort and for safety. Hawks in the sky and snares in the field are harmless when we nestle so near the Lord. This evening I want to bring this old truth of God vividly before your minds for a few moments and examine it in some detail and press it home upon your hearts and souls. First, when may we rely on this promise of our Savior? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We may rely on this promise when we are in extreme danger. In times of danger at sea, when the huge billows roar and the storms rage and the ship seems like it might break into pieces, God's people have often cheered their hearts with this wonderful promise. He who holds the waters in the hollow of his hand will take care of us and cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we may trust. Perhaps at this very moment, in the midst of the raging of the ocean, when many are alarmed, there are Christians with calm faces, patiently waiting upon their Father's will, whether they shall reach the port of heaven or come again to land into the midst of life's trials and struggles once more. They feel that God is caring for them. They know that the storm has a bit in its mouth, and that God holds it in, and nothing can hurt them, and nothing can happen to them but what God permits. On the dry land, too, this same blessed promise has often comforted the Lord's people. Some are particularly timid. In times of storm, when the thunder comes, peal after peal, and the lightning flashes follow each other in rapid succession, when it seems as if the very earth itself is shaking and the skies flee away from the glance of an angry God. Oh, how it calms the anxious heart and stills the foreboding fears and makes the soul at peace to feel that the Lord covers us with his feathers, and that under his wings we may trust and take refuge. When thunder shakes the solid earth and lightning flashes like arrows from the sky, we can never have a state of peace if we did not feel that God is near, that he is our friend, that he would not hurt the children of his own love. It would be contrary to his own nature and the kindness of his character, as well as contrary to the constancy of his covenant engagements, that he would allow anything to touch his people that could do them real harm. Many people experience times of disruption in the business world that fill their hearts with fright, with unease, or perhaps even horror. The wheels of trade have run awry in some way, or the whole system of business and commerce may appear to have collapsed as with an earthquake. Great banks and large funds, whose very names were the bulwarks of credit, have suddenly failed. They've gone under. Humble people struggling day after day for a bare livelihood have suffered loss and disaster, which paralyzed all their efforts. And though panic prevails on every side, it is so sweet to find help and comfort under the wings of the Almighty, and to hear his voice saying to us, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." I know that such calamities are heavy and hard to bear, which is why the Lord has given to us such strong consolation. When the foundations of business shake and gigantic schemes burst like a bubble, when the mills are at rest, when the workshops are closed, when the skilled artisans are idle, when the affliction falls upon the fields and upon the flocks and herds and animals, when a blight destroys the crops, when disease cuts down the animals, these are the sorrows of the world. And God's people trust in him and find that he does not fail, even in difficulties like these. The Lord says in the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Think of the fears that seize the heart when pestilence is spreading through the land and rumors that it has approached your own doors. And those rumors reach your ears. Neighbors or relatives are struck down without warning. With anxious look and eager inquiries, you listen for news about those at the verge of death. Have you ever counted the watches of the night, dreading every sound? Pondering every sensation as if it were an ominous threat? What about when insidious disease has been raging and is wreaking havoc and science has been baffled to find out the cause or to cure it? The disease that walks in darkness and lays waste at noonday. The ungodly who mock religion and who laugh at prayer have uttered pious sayings and said, "This is no doubt the finger of God, a visitation from the Lord." At such times, has it not been good for you to seek the cover of his wings and to rely on his gracious promise? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. In all times of public calamity, in any season of family grief, and on every occasion of personal danger, I beseech you, do not cast away your confidence, for it has great recompense and reward. For if your faith will not bear up under such trials as these, what is it good for? What anchor is there for your soul? If you cannot bear these little alarms, how will you do when you are facing the last great enemy, death? In the midst of the terrors of the world to come, when the very pillars of the universe shall fall and all things shall pass away, how will you be able to stand calmly and serenely if these things move you? No, beloved, let even the weakest be strong. And as you have believed in your God, be ashamed of cowardly fear. Be as Ezra, who resolved, "The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him." Pluck up courage and say within yourselves, "Now I will prove that promise true. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." The Lord's promise in our text is not just for the time of danger. We may rely on it in sunny days, too. Yes, for every hour of this mortal life. When you leave your house tomorrow morning, you will little know what danger may befall you during the day. There are dangers everywhere, and we always need God's care and protection. We should never begin a single day without first seeking God's protection. How many there are who have escaped out of terrible storms and nevertheless died when it was calm. Some have even passed through battles, fierce battles, without a scar. But they were killed afterwards by a slight accident. You always need God's protection. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall always have it, for he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. This is for you tonight when you go to bed. Then you may say, "Now, Lord, cover me with your feathers." It is for you tomorrow when you are going out to your daily work, not knowing what may befall you. You can use the same petition. "This day, O God, grant that your under your wings I may take refuge and shelter." What are some more times when we may rely on this promise of our Savior? We may especially rely on it in times of temptation. Earnest Christians are not so much afraid of trials as of temptations. To suffer affliction is little, but to be provoked to sin is the great cause of fear. Give me neither poverty nor riches, the Lord says in Proverbs 30, verse 8. But why? It was not because poverty would be inconvenient, but lest he should sin through poverty. He said, do not give me riches, not because riches are undesirable, but lest he should sin through the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth, of abundance. The great horror of a Christian is in sin. Find him a place on earth where he could live without sin, and there he would dwell, whether it would be a dungeon or a palace. If there were a place where my temper could never be ruffled, a place where I could never be agitated into pride or be silenced into cowardice, if I could find a spot where laziness would never molest me or where earthly passions would never rise up and cast me down, I would be so happy to borrow the wings of a dove and to fly there at once. Since you dread temptations, it behooves you to pray, lead us not into temptation. But remember, if God in his providence should at any other time compel you to go where you are tempted and must be tempted, as the Spirit led our Savior into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, you may then fall back upon this gracious word of God. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Which is why the Lord Jesus Christ three times quoted the scriptures in the face of the devil's temptations. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's no devil as bad as no devil. Always be on your guard, and you shall always be secure in the Lord. In anticipating the temptations of this week, you who work side by side with skeptics, you who live in families where there is no grace, you who deal with the dishonest and the profane, whatever temptation you may face this week, resolve in the strength of the Lord that you will walk uprightly, and that as his servants, you will not soil your garments, and then you may come to your heavenly Father for his protection and say to him, my God, I am more afraid of sin than I am of lightning or of fire or of the murderer. Keep me day by day from sin. Defend me from evil. Cover me with your feathers. Give me your refuge, the refuge under your wings. Let your truth be my shield. Let it be my defense. Let it be my buckler. Let it be my armor. We may also rely on this promise for the future. Many a true servant of God has said to himself, what shall I do when I grow old? I'm just able now to earn a living, but what shall I do when this frail body can no longer earn my daily bread? You will have the same Father then as you have now to help you. And you will have the same providence then as now to supply your needs. You thank God for your daily bread now, and you shall have your daily bread then too. For he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Our Savior teaches us to say in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God has provided comfortable circumstances for some in old age, and they marvel at the generous hand which furnishes them with all good things, and they chide the unbelief of their own anxious and worried spirit. Others are taken to heaven long before they grow weak in mind or body, as they so dreaded. God will take care of you. Rest in Him. Take the troubles God sends you, for they are more suitable for you. You will be able to carry them, and you will be able to get over them by His grace. Do not worry about tomorrow. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Let the unknown tomorrow bring with it what it may. It cannot bring us anything that God will not carry us through. So let it come and let it go. And let the name of the Lord be praised. We shall bless His name in it, and we shall bless His name after it. And why not bless His name before it? This promise of our Savior may also be particularly comforting to us in the hour of death. Ah, we may sing what we will and say what we will, but dying is not easy. Thank God it is going home. We know that it is not death in some respects. It is but a change in our mode of life. For when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. But still, we cannot think of that death dew which will lie cold on our brow, the failing voice and the glazing eyes, without some natural reticence, some uneasiness. And when we would gladly go forth to meet it, we shrink back again to life. What shall we do when we come to die? When the physician can no longer help us? And when the beating of the pulse grows faint and few, then He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Oh, it will be so blessed to go cowering down right under the shadow of the Almighty, hiding ourselves as the little chickens do in the hen's feathers, losing our own individuality in the realization of our union to our Savior Jesus Christ, finding that it is not death to die, but coming nearer to God in very deed, in blissful experience, nearer than we ever were before. Looking forward into that unknown future across the shoreless sea and listening to the billows as we hear them sounding in the dark, we thank God that they are not billows of fire to us to destroy us, that they are not waves of God's everlasting wrath to drown us, but that they are waves of His eternal glory, waves of eternal bliss. Whatever there may be in the future, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We shall be safe and near our God and blessed for all eternity. In the hour of death, may this promise of our Savior roll sweetly into your souls to cheer and comfort you. Second, how does God fulfill this promise? God may preserve us altogether from the danger we dread. God often has, as He promises in Psalm 91, in times of pestilence and famine and war, preserved His people by remarkable providences. The Lord has protected those who trust in Him in times of pestilence. Strong faith always has a particular immunity in times of trouble. When a man, under a sense of duty, under a conscientiousness, a conscientious conviction, rests alone in God, he has been enabled to walk where the thickest dangers were flying, unharmed. He's put His foot upon the cobra and the young lion. He's trampled the lion underfoot. He has trusted in God, and God has verified and vindicated his promise, and the child of God has not been put to shame. There are some dangers from which the providence of God does not preserve the Lord's people, but God still covers them with his feathers in another sense, by giving them his grace to bear up under their trouble. If you have little trouble, you will have little faith. But if you have great faith, you must expect to have great trouble. God will cover you with his feathers. Though you have to carry the load, you shall have strength enough to carry it. You shall find, as a dear saint once said, the sweetest thing next to Christ in the entire world is Christ's cross. And to carry Christ's cross is the next best thing to beholding his glory. You shall find that your afflictions become your mercies, and your trials become your comforts. You shall glory in tribulation and find light in the midst of gloom, and have joy unspeakable in the time of your sorrow. In this way, God covers us with his feathers and gives us refuge under his wings. And his truth is our shield and our buckler. God also fulfills this promise when, by his grace, having sustained his servants in their trouble, he brings them out of it greatly enriched. Oh, it is a great blessing to be put through the fire if you come out purified. It is a sweet mercy to have to go through the floods if some filthiness is removed. The children of Israel went down to Egypt to sojourn there, but after hard slavery and cruel oppression, they came up out of it with silver and gold, greatly enriched by their bondage. Did you ever notice that remarkable passage in which the Lord tells of his gracious care for them before he delivered them? In the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 24, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. In the time of their greatest grief, God was all in all to them. You, dear child of God, shall lose nothing by your losses. You shall only gain by them. As bars of iron are not able to imprison a free soul, so afflictions that are merely temporal and bodily shall not hamper or lessen the joy of an immortal soul. No, we shall mount above the billows of our griefs and sing as we lift our heads above the spray. We shall rise above the clouds of our present afflictions and look down upon them as they float beneath our feet, rejoicing that the Lord has borne us up as upon wings above them all to bring us to himself. Either by keeping us out of trouble, or by helping us to bear the trouble, or by bringing us through it with great gain to ourselves, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Third, why may we be sure of this promise of our Savior? You may find a strong ground of personal assurance in the fact that faith brings the sympathy of God. Faith enlists everybody's sympathy. There's a blind person going along the road and he needs to get across the street. He puts complete confidence in you, even though he cannot see you and he does not know you. He feels sure that you will lead him safely across. And if there were a little child who had lost his way and he came running up to you, even if you were a tall, big person, and said, "Oh, I do not know my way nor where I came from, but I'm quite sure that you will take care of me until I've found my mother," you would help him. If you think that God will be a gracious and merciful God to you and rely on him as his child, it is not in the heart of God to turn away from a humble faith that dares to lay hold upon him. Try it, and you will prove it true. You may be quite sure that he will cover you with his feathers, because we have hundreds of promises to that effect in the scriptures. There's not time to quote them all, but there's one like this. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand." Isaiah 54, verse 4, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." There are hundreds of promises like these. And will God break them? You keep your promise to your child, and will God not keep his promise to you? Rest in him then. He shall cover us with his feathers, for his own word declares it. Moreover, you are his child. And what will a father not do for his own dear child? If one were a stranger, you might pay little attention if someone were in trouble or in danger or in deep distress. But your child, your own child, oh, you cannot rest while he suffers. How agitated we are when our little ones are sick. We get the best help for them. When they are in pain, how willingly we would take their pain if we could relieve them. And spare those cries that seem to pierce our heart as well as our ears. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Jesus said, who cry out day and night unto him, though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Though he bears long with their adversaries, yet he will come to the help of his own beloved children, for he is fatherly in all the sensitiveness of his heart, as well as in all the judiciousness of his chastisements. He will protect his own. Remember, there is always one point of which God is jealous, and that is his own honor. Christ must convey even the smallest boat safe into the port of paradise. He must not allow even one of these little ones to perish, for that is not the will of our Father who is in heaven. Come then, you who tremble. Come, you who doubt. Come, you little ones, you who think you cannot have a part in this great promise of God, come now. Come and nestle down under those great wings which seem so close to you, the wings that are lined with the feathers of the eternal will be strong wings, as though they were bars of iron through which no storms of trouble can ever beat. Through which the enemy, though he comes from hell itself, shall not be able to drive his darts. Come to the strong wings that are yet so softly feathered, so tenderly lined with loving kindness and with affection, that the weakest and the most trembling of sinners may find comfort there. What must it be to be without God? A man once said to his slave, "Would you give up your religion and be made a king? Or would you keep your Jesus Christ and be flogged to death?" And he said, "Oh, give me Jesus Christ. And flog me to death 20 times if you will. I could never give him up. He is my joy and my comfort." Truly we can say that. Give us but a sense of God's love, and we will not complain about our condition. Only to know that God is our friend, we will not ask who else is on our side. For having God, we have all. And all must be well when God is our Father, when God is our protector, when God is our deliverer, when His truth is our shield and our buckler, and His wings cover us and are our refuge. What must you be without God? You may be trying to satisfy your soul with the love of family. Your wife and your children are your only inheritance under the sun. That is better than some people who strive after, or better than what some people strive after. But that is just a dying comfort, a passing comfort. There's always a thorn in all those roses, as sweet as they are. I do not think the dearest wife and the most beloved children can really, fully, completely fill the heart. Sometimes you need more. I know you do. Others of you have been trying to fill your hearts full with your friends who like to have fun. They like to party and have a good time. But they are poor comforts when you are sick. And they will be still poorer comforts when you come to die. You must not suppose that if you loved Jesus Christ and you put your trust in Him, you would give up the joy of life. You would just have found it. You would then begin to be happy, because you would have found what your soul needs to fill it. Nothing but the triune God can fill the heart. Let Father, Son, and Holy Spirit get into the heart by a living faith, and the heart is right filled up to the brim, and the man is content in all his trials. I would that you had Christ to be yours. Take Christ as your Savior. Whoever trusts in Him is saved from the wrath that is to come and has eternal life. He is God. Jesus is worthy to be trusted. Moreover, He died, the just for the unjust, bearing our sins that He might bring us to God. Depend upon the merit of His death on the cross, and you shall be saved. I plead that God will bring everyone who hears into a state of faith, and He will bless you through the Lord Jesus Christ, His well-beloved and only begotten Son. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your promise given to us in this portion of your word. A promise so rich and full that it is beyond our full understanding and comprehension. And we thank you, gracious God and Heavenly Father, that you have promised to cover us with your feathers, to protect us under your wings in that place of refuge, to defend us and preserve us from all harm and danger, from all enemies, even from that last enemy, death itself, by your truth, which is our shield and buckler. We thank you that Jesus is the truth. And we thank you, Father, that all of these promises, even this one, are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seal, we pray, your words to our hearts and in our lives, and cause us, Father, to trust you, to take you at your word, to rest upon you, and to know that you shall never fail. Father, our hearts ache and yearn for those who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have no protection or refuge under his wings. We pray, O God, that you will bring them to see their need of that protection, that you will bring them, Father, empty and broken, to cast themselves upon your mercy and to cry out for your grace and to lay hold of the Savior, so rich, so full, and so free that nothing in all the world, nothing in all creation is able to separate them from your love in Jesus Christ. Lord, give us this confidence. Give us this faith. Give us this peace and this assurance tonight and tomorrow and through the days, all the days of our sojourn here on earth, that we are kept safe in the arms of Jesus and under the shadow of the Almighty. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.